Hi, and welcome to the Friday LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Corey, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Plain City campus. I appreciate you taking the time to listen and hope the next few minutes are a blessing to you. Well, as we continued in our series called The Ascent, we looked at Mount Sinai this week, and it got me thinking about how we grow up in a culture that is very performance-based. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, when we're little, we share a toy, we listen to mommy or daddy, we say please, thank you, and all done. We have earned praise, we have earned rewards for our good behavior. We get a little bit older and we do our chores, we get good grades, we excel at sports, band, or drama, we impress our friends, we earn rewards, and we earn acceptance. We move into adulthood and you do well in college, you earn some good grades. You perform well at work, your boss, your company approves of you. You get more money, maybe you get promoted. We please those around us, well then we're liked and we're accepted. I mean, we live in a day and age with social media where more followers, more likes equals more relevance. We have been engulfed in performance equals earning acceptance, earning praise, and earning belonging. And bad performance equals the opposite. And it's not just out there in the secular world either. Like for some of us, like myself, we grew up being introduced to God the same way. It was through a religion that modeled, earn your way to God, be good enough to get to God, follow the rules or you can't be in with God, break the rules and you're out with God, do religious things to keep your relationship up to par with God. We are surrounded in and engulfed in a performance-based culture. Now, this doesn't mean that performing well is a bad thing. It doesn't mean rewards for working hard is a bad thing. It doesn't mean earning things are bad. I'm just pointing out that we grow up into and we grow in this world that is heavily performance-based. And I think that can impact our view of God at times. It can impact how we think God views us. It can impact how we interact with God or how we think God interacts with us. So, like on Sunday, when we get to a passage like in Exodus 20, where we read the account of Moses up on Mount Sinai, and we see God giving the Ten Commandments, his word, where it says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, that God spoke. And then God said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth below. That you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall honor your father and mother. That you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's." We can read these Ten Commandments or any of God's instructions in the Bible for that matter. And again, because of this performance-based life we're accustomed to, we begin to approach God's word as rules to please him, as a to-do list that makes him happy, a law that if you break, well, then God's going to break you, or you have to behave and follow all these things and it'll equal earning God's favor, or follow all these things and now you have God's approval. But here's the interesting thing. When you take a closer look at the Ten Commandments, you know what you see? Commandments 1 through 4 teach us about our relationship with God. And Commandments 5 through 10 teach us about our relationships with others. Are these commandments for us to follow? Yes, but they're not performance-based. They're relationship-based. That God did not provide the Ten Commandments as a way to have, earn, or keep a relationship with him. Rather, God gives the Ten Commandments. He gives his word to us as proof of a relationship. That with God, the relationship comes before the rules. In Exodus here, by the time God gives the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel, he's already established a relationship with them. Way back through his promise to Abraham to make a great nation, through growing them into a great nation, through rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, through Passover and much more, God established the relationship first and the rules second. We don't have time to talk about it here, but he does the exact same thing through Jesus. God comes down from heaven in the form of Jesus, the living word. It's no longer just stone tablets. Why? To establish a relationship with us. So let me just ask us some questions before we close today. How's your relationship with God? Are you rules first? Or are you relationship first? Is there anything you're doing to try to earn favor with God? Are you seeking to be good enough in God's eyes? Is it performance-based or relationship-based between you and God? Remember, there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. So how's your relationship with Him? Is it really a two-way street? Are you talking with God through prayer? Are you allowing God to talk to you through His Word, the Bible? Furthermore, how are we trying to reach people around us with the good news of Jesus? Are we trying to lead people to behavior modification or heart transformation? Are we trying to get everyone to follow the rules, or do we really want them to follow Jesus first? How do you look at God's Word? Is it just a bunch of rules to you today? Is it just a performance checklist to you today? Remember that when we start with the relationship with God, something amazing happens. Trust is built. Closeness is developed, that we no longer see His commands as restrictions, but as life-giving, as reviving the soul, as Psalm 19 says, as barriers that guide and guard our lives. That when we start with our relationship with God, we want to follow His Word, not because of performance, not because we have to, but because we want to. Let's pray together today. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is trustworthy and true. May we delight in Your Word, but thank You for establishing a relationship with us first. Thank You for loving us first. Thank You for being a God who comes down the mountain to us because You desire a relationship with us. Help us to put our relationship with You above everything else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.